How many can remember a time when Calvary came through for you? Can you remember that time? Would you praise Him? Would you praise Him if Calvary came through for you? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I decided for this Communion Sunday that I would lay aside the series and share a communion meditation. And I'll be sharing that from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, a communion meditation. And as you got your Bibles and starting to find your place there, could you go ahead and stand all over the building and shake hands with two or three neighbors and tell them you're glad to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like to ask your, go ahead and remain standing, we're going to read, but I'd like to ask your assistance this morning on several fronts, and I don't do this often, and this morning I have a unique meditation. To me, it's very serious, and I would like your assistance in three ways. Number one, pray as your pastor preaches. Pray that God would have His way, speak specifically hearts. Number two, please listen. I know that's not to everybody, that's to a few, and I think you realize who you are. There's been several lately when I've been trying to preach, the talking has been incessant throughout the preaching. It's not just respect of this man up here. This is God's house. We're talking about His crucifixion. And another thing, I know some have your Bibles on your phones and things, and that's different than playing a game or checking your social media. Doesn't this sound like an old crotchety old pastor? Doesn't it? These things are serious. And you know, it's so easy to say, I love the Lord, but you know, we don't love Him anymore than we love to hear His word. I believe that. How many believes that? We don't love Him anymore than we love to hear His word. And I say these things because I love you, and I know that the enemy is at work, and what we need is spiritual help from the Lord. Can you say amen? So everyone that just feels overjoyed in your hearts, could you just shout out glory?
Glory.
And the rest of you, could you just say, oh me? Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm getting dizzy. This pulpit is sitting on top of cords, and it moves, and I'm getting really dizzy here. Maybe you can help me out there. Someone else help him here. Well, that was a unique request too, wasn't it? Thank you. Yeah, I think it was a little crooked too. If you could, this side here. There we go. Thank you. Some of you understand that, right? Oh, well, I've got to get started, but it really bothered me when we were measuring last time to remodel the platform. I shouldn't tell you this is going to bother some of the rest of you, but the whole platform is about, if I remember correctly, about 2 3/4 inches off center, and that's bothered me ever since I knew that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, in that verse 2, go back to verse 2 for just a moment, thank you. Notice it says here, He endured the cross. And then in verse 3, for considered Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Why? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. In other words, there's a connection between giving up and thinking of what He went through, considering what He went through. We'll go back to verse 3 in a moment. Let's go to verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The only time I got bloody preaching the gospel was I was preaching one of those old mics. How many remembers those rectangles? And I couldn't get it out of the stand, so I leaned forward like this. And I forgot I was leaning forward, so when I went like this with my hands, it came back and hit me in the lip and busted. How many of you have suffered? Martyr's blood for serving Jesus. You've shed your blood for serving Jesus. Let's go back to verse 3. For consider him. Who? Him? Well, the one that endured the cross. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to preach this morning on consider the cross. Consider the cross. You can be seated this morning. Living where we live now, I like to go out in the woods out back and just sit there and think. And I was back there the other day thinking, and I was looking up into the sky, and I was thinking of people, not everybody, but people in the church overwhelmed by trials. I mean, some folks are totally discouraged. They're ready to quit. I thought of others that are tired of the fight. I mean, they're weary. I mean, they have fought and fought. They're weary. I thought of some that my heart is heavy with because they're sliding away. They're losing their passion for Jesus, their tenderness towards God, their love for the Word, their love for worship. I thought of others that are listening to the drumbeat, that there's an easier way to serve God. You don't have to be so all out. You can have the world and claim to be a Christian too. And I was thinking of these things, and then I thought of the cross. And it was almost as if I could see the cross. It wasn't a vision. I'm not claiming that. But it was almost as if I could see the cross up in the sky. There, the pain racked, the sin loaded down, the bloody, naked before all, darkness and demon attack figure of Jesus on the rough-hewn wood, staining that wood with his blood. And when I saw that in my mind's eye, I said, that's it. That's it. That's an answer to every one of those scenarios of folks struggling. And with that, I thought, what if we as believers would weigh all of our troubles, all of our sufferings, weigh them against the fact that Jesus has suffered so tremendously for us all? Every time we had a trouble, weigh that against the cross. What if before we thought of giving up, we thought of the cross? What if before we let go our passion for Jesus, for the pleasure of the world, we thought of the cross? What if before we quit fighting and surrendered, we thought of the cross? Hallelujah. That's what the writer said. He said, consider the cross. Hallelujah. How many wants to do that this morning? Amen. Brother Tim, just a little more on these monitors. If we hadn't pulled the cord out. You see, if I took the time, I would look at the whole epistle here, because this epistle was written for this purpose. These Christians written to with the book of Hebrews were suffering persecution. And because they were suffering, they were contemplating, they were considering just giving this serving Jesus stuff up. Just give it up and go back to the old way of living and the old religion. But the writer of Hebrews says, before you consider giving it all up, why don't you do one thing before you do that? Consider Jesus hanging on the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. You've had it bad. You Hebrews, you've had it bad, but you've not yet shed any blood, and consider him. His body was drained of its blood for you and I. Even before you give up, consider the cross. When things get tough, when you are at your emotional worst, when you're about to throw in the towel, when you are becoming enamored with this world and find yourself turning and headed back to this world, stop. Wait a minute before you quit, before you turn back, before you sell out, before you abandon your first love, consider the cross. Amen. Take another look at the cross. Consider the cross. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, Amen. The word consider is a word you could use even for math. It means to reckon, to take into account when you go to figuring. Let me use another word in a moment. But have you ever tried to convince somebody with the truth and you would keep saying to them, just think about it. Just think about it. Amen. Someone even this morning said, I'll think about it. Well, it's good to think about it. Amen. But to think about it means to take something into account. Take into account when you're thinking about it. Take into account how he died for our salvation, how he suffered. Another term I would use for it is weigh it. Weigh it. Weigh what you're going through with what he went through. Put what you're going through into perspective. I'm not minimizing anything, but take into consideration when you're thinking your troubles, itemizing your problems, going through your battles, your hurts, your disappointments. Weigh all of that. Amen. With the cross. Consider the cross. Look to what he has done. And in giving that admonition, the writer said in verse 4, because you've not yet resisted unto blood. Now, I want to tell you this morning what I'm suggesting, what the author says. This only works when you take into account that he hanged there on the cross and suffered so horribly. He did it for you. It's a personal thing. It's the only way this works, Brother Rose, to consider the cross. It was personally for you. Amen. Personally for me. I must take it personally. Back in the 70s, there was a song that came out. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. How many remembers that song? Amen. We had a talent show at public school, and a good friend of mine went to my church, a young lady at the time. Amen. She sang that at the talent show, and I believe she won too. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. When he was suffering on the cross, he had you and this hurt in mind. When he was suffering on the cross, he had the trial you're going through in mind. When he was on the cross, he had the temptation that you're facing in mind. He had you and your need on his mind when he suffered on the cross. Don't you think it'd be fair if we turn that around? Amen. If he had me on his mind when he was on the cross, why couldn't I have him on the cross on my mind when I'm in the trial? Have him on the cross in my mind when I'm fighting the battle. Have him on the cross in my mind when I'm resisting the temptation. Have him on the cross on my mind when I've been hurt and disappointed. Amen. What if we had him on our mind before we said yes to temptation? Had him on the cross in her mind before we walked away from a relationship with him. Had him on the cross in her mind before we quit being faithful to him. Have him on the cross in her mind before we stopped worshiping and stopped praying. He thought of us in our situation while he was on the cross. Let's think of him on the cross while we are in this situation. Oh, hallelujah. If we consider the suffering Savior before we said that, did that, watched that, gave in to temptation, harbored that feeling, it'd make all the difference in the world. How many believes we need to consider the cross? My mind works in strange circuits, and I thought when I was at this point in my study, the time in a Bible school, when the dean got up, the dean of students, and he announced in a chapel to all the dating couples, he said, from now on, you're going to have a chaperone with you on every date. And he said, I've chosen one person to be the chaperone. And everyone turned around and looked at my wife's mother, Sister Barnes, and went, oh, no. And then he said, no, not her. Jesus is going to be your chaperone on your day. And all the students went, phew, not Sister Barnes, just Jesus. We're not Catholic. We're not into icons. But I did think about that. What if those young couples had taken a picture of the suffering Christ on the cross and kept that picture posted somewhere in the vehicle when they were on the day? What if we were to let Jesus on the cross, that image, chaperone us through every temptation, every trial, every battle? How many's getting what I'm saying? It's not time to give up. It's time to consider Him and what He endured on the cross. Hallelujah. All these times I'm going to list below, if He was considered on the cross, it would make the difference. Instead of giving up in the trial and saying, it's too hard to live for Jesus, think about how hard it was for Him to suffer on the cross so you could live for Him. Amen? Instead of taking in more and more of this world, what about considering the cross and say, wait a minute, I'm starting to love what He died to save me from. I'm starting to love what He hanged on the cross to free me from. See how considering the cross makes a difference? Instead of losing my passion for the things of God and getting so I'm no longer worshiping, I'm no longer singing, when I'm losing my passion, what if I considered how much passion He had when He said, I must needs go to Jerusalem to die for you, for you. Instead of succumbing to temptation, what if I stopped to think, wait a minute, this sin I'm about to commit, He died on the cross for that sin. It makes a difference, doesn't it? There's this modern American Christianity. It's without commitment. It's without self-denial. It's without inconvenience. And it says you can be whatever you want to be, even a homosexual. You can do whatever you want to do, act no differently than this world, and still be a Christian. That teaching seems attractive. It seems cutting edge until you consider that kind of teaching alongside of the cross of Jesus Christ. I was talking to my friend yesterday. He's by no means even in the same circuits that we are in. And yet he was disturbed. One of the biggest names on television. He said, you listen to the way he's been preaching and teaching. And this is an honest observation. He said he'd make you think that you could do anything that the world does and still come in the house of God and say, I'm a good Christian and a good believer. And that seems so attractive to so many people. But I want to ask you something. When you start being attracted to that kind of mentality, consider that kind of teaching alongside the fact of the cross where He suffered so horribly. He didn't say He just came to save us from hell. He came to save us from our sins, and not just from our sins. He died on the cross, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 1, to deliver us from this present evil world. Can you say amen? What if we actually did this? Amen. You see, the thing is, it's true. This modern thing can't consider the cross. They must not. We can't have Sunday school anymore because folks want to sleep in. We can't have a Sunday evening service because it conflicts. I'm talking about the church world. It conflicts with sports events. We can't preach, come out from the world and be separate because too many love the world. We cannot stand for righteousness and biblical truth without somebody saying, you're a legalist. I'm not a legalist. I've just had a vision of the cross. He didn't die so we could remain in the same cesspool of sin. He didn't die on the cross so we could stay in the pit. He didn't die on the cross so we could act like, talk like, do like everything. He died on the cross to bring a people out, to deliver them from the pit, to set at liberty them that have been in bondage. What if we actually did this, consider the cross? I want you to think personally, if this is you, what if before you with your mouse selected the key that opened up the pornographic website? What if before you did that, you thought of Jesus hanging on the cross? What if before you started justifying worldly fashions and trends and fads that you want to participate in, before you did that, you thought of Jesus on the cross? What if before you let your hurt feelings cause you to abandon your church family? What if you think of the cross and Jesus hanging there for you? What if before you push play on that movie that glorifies premarital sex, you thought about Jesus hanging on the cross? What if before you started playing on your cell phone in the middle of a message, this message, what if you thought of the fact he hanged on the cross? You say, Brother Hurst, you're being facetious. You're just being grouchy. No, sir, I'm not being that. The point is, if he could have stayed on the cross, I could stay off my cell phone. If he could stay on the cross for me, I could stay away from this world. Aren't you glad he went all the way, suffered? No, so we could be just like we were in sin, but so we could be different. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I don't feel that way. Consider the cross. You say, Pastor, I'm getting upset at you. Consider the cross. Have you really considered the cross? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You don't know how hurt I've been. Consider the cross. You don't know how disappointed I've been. Consider the cross. You don't know how folks did me. Consider the cross. Oh, how is anyone here considering the cross? Hallelujah. It makes a difference. You've not yet resisted unto blood. Amen. What if before you harbored such ugly feelings against someone and talked so hurtful about and to them, you consider the cross? Well, what about it? What about the cross? I've heard many times, and I'm not trying to be reactionary. I'm trying to be helpful this morning. I believe this is the prescription for help. Amen. But I've heard it's too hard to live for Jesus anymore. I've heard I just can't make it through all the trials. I've heard I'm missing out too much fun in the world. Even in a dream this week, I was dealing with somebody, and the basic thing was, I don't want to miss out on all the fun of the world. What about in all those conditions? I thought and considered the cross. Here's the question to ask this morning. Am I going to live the way I live when he died the way he died? Oh, hallelujah. Am I going to live the way he lived? Am I going to live the way I live when he died the way he... I'm telling you, get a hold of the way he died and it'll change the way you live. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. You just can't say, I live, amen, because he loved me and gave himself for me. I don't live this way because the church teaches it. I don't live this way because I think I'm religious. I live this new life because he loved me and he gave himself for me. I have considered the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we stand and sing, I will cherish the old rugged cross. Can you sing it this morning? Can you sing it with an open heart? I will cherish the old rugged cross. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to give you a verse and I'm about done too. I know this verse is talking about the power of the message of the cross to free us from the power of the world over us. But I think it still shows us the power of even considering the cross. Look at Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. I think we have that, brother, if you can find it on down towards the end. Amen. Did you catch that? Said, by the cross of Christ, the world has crucified unto me, Jesus on the cross, and I unto the world. When I consider the cross, the world loses its appeal. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty gospel that can set folks free. You should know it should never have to be taught to folks. You should want to be free from the world. all needs to be said is, in Christ you can be free from the world. It should never have to be preached. You need to stay out of and away from that world. It ought to be enough to point to the cross. And the cross says, I don't want to have anything to do with the world. Look what he died. How he died to set me free from this world. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me wrap this up. It's applied in this verse. Could we go to Hebrews 12:3? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint at your minds. That implies that if I do not consider the cross, I will lose my strength. I will become weary and I will faint. Did I come to the right conclusion? If I do not consider the cross, if that leaves my mind, leaves my heart, I won't continue to serve the Lord because I'll become weary and faint at my mind. But there's another side to that. It's also implied. If I do consider the cross, I will be renewed. I will gain strength. I will again become passionate for the things of God. I will reclaim my devotion and my fervor. Oh, hallelujah. We've looked on the negative side much of the message because that is the message. But I cannot end without telling you, if you will consider the cross, you won't be wearied. You won't be fainted. You won't faint. You will be renewed. You will be strengthened. You'll find the passion for Jesus come alive in your heart. Oh, that's why so many songs I could quote, but just one four-line, a chorus of an old hymn, and the plea was, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream. It flows from Calvary's mountain in the cross, in the cross. Be my glory ever. Oh, I tell you where to find strength. It's at the cross. I'll tell you where to find victory over the world. It's at the cross. Hallelujah. I tell you where to rekindle your love for Jesus. It's at the cross. Let me tell you one more thing. The thing about the cross is the cross was followed by a resurrection. And I have this feeling, Brother Greg, every time we sincerely revisit the cross, we'll leave with a resurrection. How many really believes that this morning? If we'll sincerely come to the cross, we will leave with a resurrection. New life, new passion, new love, new strength, new ability. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Those that are going to be coming, would you come? I want to share this story before we enter. Before we enter into our communion service. Amen. There's a professor from Oxford. He was on tour in Europe, and he was going to the World War II sites, and he came to Auschwitz, that awful, infamous concentration camp in Germany where so many Jews were put to death. And while he was there, he met a Jewish lady from South America, and she was there at Auschwitz because that's where her parents died. And they talked to her a while, and she understood that he was a Christian, and they went on the tour through the facilities, and they came to that place, that Dr. Joseph Mengele that was there at Auschwitz. He had used children for medical and science experiments, and they had taken the pictures that they had taken in the research of these children being tortured and suffering, and there in that memorial, they had put the pictures of those children on the wall. And this professor from England and this Jewish lady from South Africa were standing there. And she turned to the professor, and I want to get her words just right. She said to him, or asked him, and what does your religion, Christianity, what does your religion make of this? He later recounted, he said, "What did I say?" He said, "She'd lost her parents here at Auschwitz. I didn't want to demean her loss, minimize that." He said, What did I say? I'm surrounded by these pictures of children suffering. He told her, he said, "I've got children around that age, and I can't imagine anybody doing anything to them, even half that bad." And he said, "Ma'am, I want to tell you, I don't want to insult the memory of your parents by just giving you a simplistic answer to your question. But," he said, "I do, for what it's worth, have an answer that's at least a doorway to understanding." And she said, "Well, sir, what is it? What would the answer be?" And I'm going to quote him, if you would indulge me. Listen to this. The professor said, "You know that I'm a Christian, and that means that I believe Yeshua, or Jesus, is the Messiah. I also believe that he was God incarnate, coming to the world as Savior, which is what his name Yeshua means. Now, I know that this is even more difficult for you to accept." In other words, she's a Jew. "Nevertheless, just think about this question. If Yeshua was really God, as I believe he was, what was God doing on a cross? Could it be that God begins just here to meet our heartbreaks by demonstrating that he did not remain distant from human suffering, but he became a part of it himself? For me," he says to the lady, "this is the beginning of hope, and it's the living hope that cannot be smashed by the enemy of death. The story does not end in the darkness of the cross. No, Yeshua conquered death. He rose from the dead. And one day, as the final judge, he will assess everything in absolute fairness and righteousness and mercy." He finished, and they're standing at the time in the very gate of Auschwitz. And there's a deathly silence as the woman just stood there. And then she began to weep and stretched both her arms to make a cross, standing there in the gateway of Auschwitz. And as she wept, she said, "Why did no one tell me this about my Messiah before?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It makes a difference whatever you face. It makes a difference when you consider the cross. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. How many will consider the cross with me today in this service? Are you really going through it? I'm not minimizing. Go ahead, begin to come, servers. Are you really going through it? I'm not minimizing that. But I'd like to tell you, consider the cross. "Pastor, you don't know how bad I have it." Consider the cross. "You don't know how badly I've been hurt." Consider the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Before we go any further, could we take a moment to do that? Could you lift your heart and hands and just consider the cross? Look right to the cross. To everyone in the building, look right to the cross. Remember, it only works if you say, "He hanged there for me. He was there for me. He suffered for me. He gave for me." Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Could we do this all through the communion service? Could we consider him? Could we do it? Come on, consider him. Come on, let's let the Holy Spirit move. Could we? Let's let the Holy Spirit move. If you feel your heart hardening right now for whatever reason, consider the cross. That'll soften a heart. Lord, Lord, in the light of your cross, give me nothing but humble gratitude. Humble gratitude. Humble gratitude. We're about to partake of communion, and If you're new to this, we invite everyone that professes a relationship with Christ, saving knowledge, to partake with us. We just ask everybody to be served, and then we will partake together. If you have children that profess a relationship with Christ and you've talked with them as parents, may they partake as well. But as you're passing these elements and taking yours, consider the cross. Hallelujah.
To the cross, when I am weary from the storm, to the cross, that is where my strength comes from. To the cross is where you'll find me. He will bear my heavy load. To the when I need peace for my soul, to the cross, His forgiveness He'll bestow. To the cross is where I'll run to when it seems I've lost my way. To the cross, to the cross is where to the cross, when I am weary from the storm, to the cross, that is where my strength comes from. To the cross is where you'll find me. He will bear my heavy load. To the cross, to the cross, is where I will go. To the cross, when I need peace for my soul, to the cross, His forgiveness He'll bestow. To the cross is where I'll run to when it seems I've lost my way. To the cross, to the cross is where I will stay. To the cross, when I feel so all alone, to the cross, there is comfort at the throne. When I give to Him my broken heart, He'll mend and make anew. To the cross, to the cross is what my soul clings to. To the cross, when I cannot see a change, to the cross, on my faith I will stand. To the cross is where I'll cry out, Lord, You know just what I need. To the cross, to the cross, that's where You'll find me. Thank you. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord.
We bear in our hands the emblems that cause us to pause and consider the cross. That's what it's about. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And as oft as you do this, you do show forth my death until I come. Could we stand across the building? Father, thank you for your people that you have redeemed for yourself. Lord, thank you for the awful death that you suffered, that we could have life and vitality and passion and hope. Lord, I pray you'd bless your people this morning in the very partaking of these elements, that they would find strength and help and encouragement and empowerment in their lives. Lord, I pray that if anything is out of sort with the partaking of the elements, Lord, you would just straighten that up in the heart and give help. And give cleansing and give, Lord, that passion to serve you fresh and new. Lord, if there's any sick amongst us, heal, Lord, right now with the partaking. Help your presence to be felt, Lord. God, any discouraged, just lift their spirits. Cause them to mount up, their spirits to soar. Lord, any in battle, Lord, let them hear the victory cry. That after the cross there is resurrection, there is life. Lord, just bless your people and help your people. Hold them close to your heart. Lord, bind us together with love right now all across the building. Holy Spirit, give us the unity of love and nearness as the family of God. Lord, in all things may we consider the cross. You're holding in your hands the bread that symbolizes his broken body. I reread it yesterday. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat his back, humiliated him by taking his clothes, nailed him to a cross, pierced his side, and all for us. This is my body, which was broken for you. Would you consider the cross as we together partake of the bread? Could we do that? Hallelujah. Consider the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We hold in our cup or our hands a cup that holds the symbol of his blood. It was a shedding of blood that took his life. Death drained of blood. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission. I want to ask you right before we partake of the cup, consider his life's blood being spilled, more precious than silver or gold or any tradition of men, but as of a lamb without spot or without blemish or wrinkle. Would you consider his blood? Now let's partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him. Have you considered? Hallelujah. Let's praise him across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, because the message has been what it's been. Before we leave, let's sing this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and consider the cross for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, oh, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for. I like to hear just the voices of the congregation. Get us started with your voice. Would you love him? Would you love him? Your Savior. Love your Savior. Love your Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The Lord's Supper from New Testament times has never been complete until love was shown between the brothers and sisters. Here a moment, I want you to shake your brother and sister's hand appropriately. Say, I love you. You say, I don't love them. Consider the cross. Amen. Would you greet one another? Amen.